Norton Rainey, Sunday PM, February 27th, 2011.
Well, last time I spoke on the doctrine of identification, I want to briefly review this doctrine and look at some additional thoughts. We've got to know who we are. Let's remind ourselves from the last study of our identity and what the Word says about us. We talked about, and you can put your name in here, I am a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am reconciled to God, and I am a minister of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. I am an heir of God, Romans 8:17 and Galatians chapter 4. I am a saint, Ephesians 1:1. In Philippians 1:1 and 2 Corinthians 2:1. I am righteous and holy, Ephesians 4:24. I am hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. I'm accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6. I am a citizen of heaven, Philippians 3:20. We need to meditate on what God has to say about us, what He says about us as born-again believers. We talked about Christ, who first identified with us. And because He identified with us, we now can identify with Him. For we know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though for our sakes He became poor, that through His poverty we might be rich. We talked about identification naturally speaking. In the natural, we might look at somebody and say, he's an engineer, or he's a doctor. And then we looked at uniforms, and we might say, well, that guy's a fireman, that guy's in law enforcement, or that person's in the military, he's in the Army, or she's in the Navy, or whatever. And we looked at it from the standpoint of race and culture and social distinctions. I mentioned that there's about 75 scriptures that says who we are in Christ Jesus. I've been teaching on this doctrine since July, and I just think it's absolutely critical for maturity and growth that we know what God has to say about us, and we believe what He says about us. If we are to witness and to help others, we're going to have to help establish them and ground them in who are they, their identification. We talked about identity theft the last time. I mentioned that I had my credit card stolen, and I was looking at my statement, and there were charges up in New Jersey, and somebody had gotten hold of my... How many have ever had their credit card stolen? Are there? Okay, there's a few of you. I understand it's just widespread. We talked about twisted identities and distorted identities and having a false identity. Satan does not want us to know who we are. And Satan's come to do three things: to kill, steal, and destroy. He does not want us to see ourselves as God sees us. So we talked about identification as an antidote to loneliness, depression, to addictions, to stress and anxiety in our lives, the works of the flesh and the trials of life. The identification is really the key to our joy and our contentment and our peace and our rest. To further get our minds focused, let's review. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 3 and 5. 3 through 5. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also, in the likeness of His resurrection. Very clear scriptures about who we are, our identification. We've been grafted together in the likeness of His death. For if we have become one with Him by sharing in His death, so shall we share in His resurrection. We see identification. If we do not see our identification and our identity clearly, we will live in defeat. We will be defeated. We will live carnal lives. We will walk after the flesh. Now, I know those are strong words. We've got to get this teaching to rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. Workman implies work. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we can rightly divide the word of truth, what's the opposite of that? We can wrongly divide the word of truth. This is a true story I heard about some abused children in Houston, Texas. And they came from deplorable circumstances. I think their mother committed suicide or she overdosed. But they were adopted. Two girls were adopted by a family of wealth. It was a Christian family. And the mother had the hardest time getting the girls to take things from the refrigerator. They were having a hard time adjusting to their new identity. Christians are that way. We do not know our position and our standing. Last time we covered the Old Testament identification and some examples from the Old Testament about who we are. We looked at the door of the tabernacle, and the Israelite would come to the door of the tabernacle, and he was instructed to bring a sacrifice without spot or blemish. And he would lay his hand on the head of the sacrifice, and that spoke of identification. That was an object lesson about identification. We talked about Jehoshaphat. And he identified himself with Ahab, the wicked king in the northern kingdom. And he went to battle with Ahab, and he almost got killed. And God rebuked him severely for aligning himself, for identifying with Ahab. And then at the end of his life, he identifies himself with another wicked king and dies in defeat. We talked about David and Jonathan. David left the camp. David left the city. He left the palace. And he identified with what? Cave Adullam. That was God's will for him. But Jonathan stayed in the camp, and he identified himself with Saul. He identified himself with the city and the world, maybe the world. And he died in defeat because he identified himself with Saul. And we looked at partially and fully identifying with the things of God. We looked at Moses. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Moses is a clear example of identification. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. For he fixed his gaze on the coming reward, is what that means. Moses was identified with the palace, with Pharaoh, with Egypt, with the world. But he left all of that to identify with the things of God. He identified with God's plan. He identified with God's purpose for his life. And the Bible says, love not the world, nor the things of the world. Let me remind you of several statements, conclusions that we drew from the lesson last time. Number one, how we perceive ourselves will determine how we live. Number two, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Number three, how we think of ourselves will determine what we do. And four, we cannot earn our identification. Number five, it was purchased for us by Christ. And six, he did the work for us. He said, it is finished. And we are to accept what he did for us. Remember, we can't purchase our identification. The work is finished. We are to accept what he did. The work is passive. And you know, there's two systems of theology. There's a works righteous system of sanctification, and there's a passive system. The work is being done in us, not by us. But most systems of theology are active. They make it an active work. And that's why people aren't resting. And that's why people don't have rest. We need to apprehend that for which we've been apprehended. We need to appropriate that for which we've been appropriated. I've been appropriated. You've been appropriated. We've been laid on to. We need to capture that which Christ has captured for us. We need to know our full identity and who we are in Christ. Another illustration might be if you were to take a homeless child who was sleeping under a bridge and take him home and take him to the bedroom and say, this is where you're going to sleep tonight. And you come in the next morning and you find him sleeping under the bed because he doesn't know his new identity, who he is. Christians are like that. We do not embrace who we are. We don't live up to our privileges. Who is your father? Well, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 and look at verses 3 and verse 8. Chapter 6 of Romans, verses 3 and 8. Paul talked a lot about identification, and we need to understand who we are. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? And then verse 8, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. The teaching of the Apostle Paul. We know in Romans that as sons of Adam, we were sinners. We were identified with him in sin. And the result of this is a sinful life. But now, we are identified with Christ, and we're identified with his righteousness. And the result is a righteous life. The reason we are now identified with Christ and no longer with Adam is because by faith we identified with him in his death. In that he died for us, we died with him. As he now lives, we too live with him. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and see identification through the lenses of the old and the new man and the clothing of the old and the new man. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 22 through 24. Paul wrote a lot about identification. He talked a lot about who we are. 4:22. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We see that the old and the new man are likened unto clothing. And the old man is the clothing of all those that are in Adam. And the new man is the clothing of all those who are in Christ. And sad to say, many Christians are still wearing the clothing of the old man. If that were not the case, why would Paul have told these Christians what he just said? Paul would not have told these Christians to put it off if that weren't the case. So the way we dress and the clothing we put on determines our behavior. You know, what if I'd come to the pulpit tonight? I like to fly fish. What if I'd come with my waders on? It wouldn't have been appropriate. It wouldn't have fit, right? It determines our behavior, the kind of clothing we put on, the old man clothing and the new man clothing. We have a choice to make. How often do we select our clothing? Once a year? Once a month? Every day? Every hour? We can walk in the spirit or we can walk after the flesh. Christians say, inappropriately, he or she was walking in the flesh. That's impossible. A believer cannot walk in the flesh. A believer can walk after the flesh, and a believer, we were in the flesh, but now we are in Christ. I believe that phrase, in Christ, was used over 80 times in the writings of the Apostle Paul. So it's important to know our identity. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And see something about identification from the standpoint of the two realms, 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? In other words, who has rescued us out of the authority of darkness, from the dominion of darkness or the tyranny of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, and has removed us into the kingdom of his dear Son? We've been reestablished in the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been transplanted. The first creation was plunged into darkness by man's sin, and the prince of the power of the air became the god of the world, and the prince of darkness and all humankind are his captives. The first creation is the realm of the power of darkness. Anyone that is born into this world identifies with the first creation. But thank God, there's another realm, the kingdom of God's dear Son, because in him we have redemption through the blood and the forgiveness of sins. Believers in Christ identify with the realm of the kingdom of God's dear Son. Christians identify with Christ and the family of God. If Christians do not see their proper identity and who they are, they will live in defeat. Let me raise an issue with you. I believe Chris Linton actually brought this up in Sunday school. Identification and the eternal. They're tied together. They're like a hand in a glove. If you do not see our identity clearly, you will not see eternity and the eternalness that we have and eternal life through Christ Jesus clearly. If we are insecure and do not see eternal life, we will have a distorted identity. Let me tell you a few more things about who we are and what the Bible has to say about us. I have been justified, Romans 5:1. I am united with the Lord and one with him in spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:17. I've been bought with a price. I belong to God, 1 Corinthians 6:20. I'm a member of Christ's body, 1 Corinthians 12:27. I've been adopted as God's child, Ephesians 1:5. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2:18. And I've been redeemed and I've been forgiven of all my sins, Colossians 1:14. And I'm complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10. Luther said, we cannot do what Christ procured for us. And Luther was right. We can't finish the finished work. We are what we are because of what he did for us. And we need to believe that I'm no longer a product of my past. I'm a product of the work of Christ on the cross. I can't do what Christ has already done for me. And it's true. And as we appropriate that and as we apprehend that, it becomes reality. And it impacts us in who we are and how we live. I died to sin because Jesus already died to sin. Let's turn to Romans 6:16. And let's see now identification in the teaching regarding the two masters that Paul talked about. Romans 6:16, the two masters. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. There are two masters, sin in the realm of the flesh and righteousness in the realm of the spirit. But here's a paradox. Though we are no longer in the realm of the flesh, we can voluntarily yield ourselves or obey the master of that realm. They that are in the flesh have no choice. We were in the flesh. We're no longer in the flesh. They can only obey the master of the realm of the flesh, sin. They can only obey that one master. We do have a choice. We are not sinless, but we do not have to obey sin as our slave master. He doesn't say we are sinless, as the Wesleyans would say, but he says we have a choice that those that are in Adam do not have. We can yield our members, our bodies, unto sin if we choose to, but we don't have to, for we've been made free from the tyranny of sin. To be freed from sin does not mean that we're rid of sin. To be freed from sin doesn't mean that we are rid of sin. It means that sin no longer controls our lives. The choice is ours. Which master do we identify with? We have a choice. We can identify with the master of the realm of the spirit or the master of the realm of the flesh. Knowing this doctrine will help us to want to serve the new master, to serve Christ, to yield and to surrender. Knowing our identity can make a difference in our behavior. And think of yourself as a sinner. What are sinners born to do? Sin. We were sinners. Think of yourself as a sinner, you're going to sin. Think of ourselves as saints that sin, There's a big, big difference. Let's apprehend our identity. I cannot do for myself what Christ alone has already done for me. Eternal life is not something we get when we die. We possess it right now. And as a child of God, that's my standing, past tense. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We see here the two heads. Adam's sin made all of his descendants sinners. While this isn't a popular doctrine to talk about sin, it's thoroughly scriptural. Common experience and observation should be enough to convince, even apart from Scripture. Just look what's happening around the world right now. Just as Adam's sin made all the sons of Adam sinners, just so the obedience of Christ unto death has made all the sons of God righteous. There are two creations of which Adam and Christ are the two heads. We see that the non-believer identifies with Adam, who was the head of the first creation, while believers identify with Christ, who's the head of the new creation. So there's two ways that we can see ourselves. We can see ourselves in Christ, or we can see ourselves in Adam. We're either in Adam or we're in Christ. We need to believe, past tense, that we are in Christ. So much of our identification is past. It's already done. It's already been transacted. And we need to rest in that work. A few more things about who you are. I have been justified. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. But I'm free from condemnation, Romans 8:1. I'm assured that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. I cannot be separated from the love of God, 2 Corinthians 1:21. I'm hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. I'm confident that the good work that he's begun in me, he will perform that good work, Philippians 1:6. No condemnation for the believer. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We now have life, eternal life in Christ. I'm now an overcomer, justified, walking after the Spirit, cleansed by the blood, never to be forsaken, sitting at the right hand of God, blessed with all spiritual blessings, dead to sin, dead to the old man, dead to the old creation, dead to the old self. Now, how does that make you feel? Let's go to Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free, has set you free. It lifts you out from the law of sin and death. In the Greek, this is one word, hath made me free, has set you free. All past tense, delivered once and for all, has removed us, has transplanted us, has reestablished us. This is you. Well, you've heard the expression, if you run with the dogs, you'll catch fleas. And, you know, if you walk into a smoke-filled room and you aren't smoking, you're still going to walk out with smoke in your clothes. If you walk into the kitchen, I've been doing a lot of cooking for my wife. And if you're cooking with garlic, you may not be eating the garlic, but you're going to walk out with garlic in your clothes. I talked to a man recently, and I like coffee. And he was talking about Pilates is roasted here in town down off Evans. He said, you go down there when they're roasting coffee, Norton, you're going to walk out with smoke in your clothes and the smell of coffee in your clothes. Identification. If we sit under a ministry where false doctrine is being taught, it will impact us. Where we go to church matters. Who we align ourselves with doctrinally and spiritually has an impact. Remember Jehoshaphat. The same would be true in a business setting. If you're working for a corrupt institution, it can impact us. If we identify with individuals that support things such as infanticide or abortion or homosexuality or same-sex marriage, it can be defiling to us and impact us spiritually. We need to consider who and what we are identifying with. Paul talked about four kinds of people, and one of them was the spiritual believer. And what was the qualifying aspect of the spiritual believer? He judges all things. I take it very literally. This is a teaching throughout the Bible of utmost importance. How can two walk together except they be agreed? We have to agree with God's word when it talks about identification and who we are. We will not accomplish anything if we do not walk with the Lord and agree with his word. Love not the world nor the things of the world. We must not identify with the world but remain separate and apart from it, as Christ did when he identified with mankind. He was tested in all points, but separate, apart from sin. We can reign in this life, but we've got to understand identification. This subject of identification is far-reaching, and it just touches every aspect of our lives. All relationships, all alliances, friends, family, business associates, associations, impacts us in the church, in the ministries that we support. It determines our time. The Bible says to redeem the time. It will impact how we spend our time, who we identify with. But the Bible says it's important who we spend our time with. It determines where we go, the entertainment that we're going to be watching, what we're going to be reading. Identification will determine if we finish our course with joy, if we're to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. So let's make it a point to study and to know who we are, our identity in Christ, and meditate on our identity. So much of what I cover tonight you'll find in the Bible doctrines by Brother Freestone and opposing pairs. Much of what you've heard is already in print. Let's turn to that hymn. Well, I guess it's not a hymn, but I guess it's just a song in the Grace and Glory. It's on page 138. It was written by Herbert Buffin. You don't want me to sing it for you, do you? I thought we'd just go through the words together. Made one with Christ, oh, what a blissful union. Made one with him, what blessed sweet communion. One through the blood that poured from Calvary's mountain. Praise him forever for the cleansing fountain. One in his suffering, one in pain and sorrow. He gives the cross to today, the crown tomorrow. One in reproach and one to share his glory. Long as life lasts, I'll tell the blessed story. One in mind of him when he was dying. One with him in the tomb where he was lying. One with him in his heavenly ascension, one on the throne, what wondrous condescension. One with him now, while o'er the lost he's yearning. One with him when to earth he is returning. One with him while the throne he is regaining. One for a thousand years of earthly reigning. Made one with him who died for me. One through the blood from Calvary. Made one with him I worship and adore. Jesus and I are one forevermore. Brother Doug.